Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Pam Harper is our guest. Pamela S. Harper is the author of Preventing Strategic Gridlock. She's a nationally known consultant on the area of helping companies work together in a better way. She's the president of Business Advancement, and she is a longtime member of our Brain Trust and our good friend Pam Harper. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be back, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Pam, you and I have been talking about strategic alliances now for some time. We've done a lot of we've talked around it and about it quite a bit over the years. Mm-hmm. But recently, you really took it to another level by conducting some research on the practice and the application and the relative success or failure of strategic alliances, didn't you?
I did. In fact, today marks a very important day because we are launching it to the world, this report and our findings about building powerful strategic alliances. And I put the emphasis on powerful because I think a lot of companies out there are building alliances, but are they powerful? And how mm-hmm. can companies of all sizes increase their return on investment? So this comes after a lot of research. And that's absolutely the truth. So that's what I'm here to talk about.
So talk to us. Why did you feel that you needed to poll executives about their experience?
Well, there have been actually a number of studies that have been put out there over the last number of years asking people who are the senior executives of companies, a lot of them, of course, larger, but saying, you know, what is your satisfaction with strategic alliances? And repeatedly, the statistic comes back that 40 to 60% of strategic alliances do not meet senior executive expectations. And I've been studying this. I've conducted panel discussions and researched mm-hmm. it myself. And I thought, you know what? We really need to take this out.
So you were here as you talked to people about the ones that they had or why they weren't doing more of them, you were
That's
hearing
right.
pain.
We were hearing tremendous pain, but also a desire to make it work.
They were motivated, but there was a lot of anxiety about it too, wasn't there?
Absolutely, because the fact is that we see as the world is moving faster and faster, it's becoming a tremendous resource for increasing a company's agility, its scope, its competitiveness.
Right.
So we all know that it's important. And as you said, you and I have been talking about it for quite a while. The question is how to do it better. And so we actually engaged in a research project from March until May of this year. We formed our own strategic alliance with a company called Persuadable Research Corporation. Mm-hmm. And we went out there and we asked the senior executives across a number of industries, actually, wide range of industries, 15 different industries represented.
Did they find the executives for you, or did you know the executives?
No, actually, what we did is we had a further way of reaching out. We actually partnered with associations, industry associations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we went out and we told them what we were trying to do, and all of them were very pleased at the idea of trying to help their members
right.
to come up with ways that they could get these answers.
Right.
So it was a partnering and a partnering to get this information about alliances.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we ended up with a very nice response. Companies that ranged in size from multi-billions at the high end mm-hmm. to solo entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them talking about what it would take, what they felt was going well, and what they wished other companies would do differently or better to make these alliances more successful. The answers were really interesting.
And you discovered this paradox, didn't you?
We did. In fact, the biggest thing that we found is that everybody talks about strategic alliances, but there's not really a consistent definition of it.
Right. And I probably contributed to that because, you know, as you know, Pam, I've been talking about strategic alliances as an important activity for small businesses since the previous millennia. But I told people that I didn't care how they defined it. That you know, now partnership, basically what I said was a strategic alliance doesn't have to be a partnership where you actually have a contract or whatever. It could be loose, it could be, but so I do think people ought to be able to define strategic alliance as however they want.
Well, I think what's really important here is if you're talking about a relationship where there's an expectation, because at the end of that alliance, or periodically you're saying, is this working out for us? Are we getting a return on our investment?
Right.
It's all based on expectations, and expectations mm-hmm. start at the very beginning and even before when you're defining what a strategic alliance is. In our report, we actually asked people about a variety of different types of relationships, ranging from jointly developing products and services to joint ventures to much looser arrangements.
To perform on a bid?
Outsourcing all of this. And we thought there would be a very clear agreement from all of these CEOs, and we had CEOs participating, saying this is not a strategic alliance or this is a strategic alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Every single type of relationship we could come up with that was what we call an external relationship, that is outside of the employees and the organization, still came up. There was no agreement. So why do we care? We care because what could happen and what is happening out there is that two people could be sitting at the same table talking about a relationship, let's call it outsourcing.
And working
they
toward
they could be actually meaning two different things.
Different things and wind up being unsuccessful. And folks, you know, maybe we should have said this more in the beginning. The reason that you develop a strategic alliance, in my opinion, Pam, is when you need more resources than you have, and somebody else has it, and you come together rather than each one of you capitalizing what you don't have.
Well, absolutely. That's certainly one of the reasons, and it also has to do with everybody has different reasons for forming their particular strategic alliances.
Yeah.
But
usually, if you think you need a strategic alliance, it's probably because you need something, you don't have it, and you don't want to buy it. You want to bring somebody else in with those resources, use them for a while, and then go your separate ways. We're going to talk about how to do these properly after these messages with Pam Harper. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.